I am held, I am known, and I am loved. Our scripture lesson this morning begins with Job verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and then goes to Job 2, verses 1 through 10. There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. One day, the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to the accuser, "Where have you come from?" The accuser answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to the accuser, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then the accuser answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that the man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone, and he will curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to the accuser, "Very well, he is in your power. Only spare his life." So the accuser went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day. Allow the hearing of this word to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're starting a sermon series today on the book of Job. We're only going to talk about it for 4 weeks, even though there's 42 chapters in this long book of the Bible. Job is a part of the wisdom genre in the Old Testament. It's not history nor prophecy. The majority of Job is a lesson in lament. The majority of Job is a lesson in lament. It is the example we all need in how to stay in relationship with God. And when everything has gone wrong, when the world is falling apart, it shows us how to keep communicating with God. As we begin this series, I want to name some of the truths we are encountering here as a community of faith. Shar James passed away. Chris Beers passed away. Taya and Liana's father passed away. Curtis Hickman's brother passed away. People are struggling to pay bills, having car problems, looking for a new home, being caretakers to aging and ill relatives or to young children. Anxiety and depression are present. People are grieving. Our community experiences food and housing insecurity. We fed more than 1,500 people on Wednesday last week. Outside of our church, there is political divisiveness, a struggling economy, a hurricane that washed away entire communities in the mountains, and outside of our country, in the Middle East, continues a 100 years' war. There's deep poverty in Central America, which leads to alcohol and drug abuse, as well as human trafficking. The world is consumed with suffering. As we begin this series, I want to say that on this earth, there is no one that does not suffer in some way. And there is no need to compare our suffering to others to make it relative or minimize our struggles. Even those who are well off or appear to be well off experience suffering in ways that may be unseen. Our difficulty is difficult even when others are having a worse time. So I want to say this morning, I see you, I hear you, God hears you, and God is with you. And God gives us to each other to walk this road of life together. So together we will explore the story of Job and how, in a way, it's all of our stories. As I said, this story comes from the wisdom genre. It's a story like a parable, not history. Even if this story is not factual, it is full of truth. Scholars believe that Job's story is written like a folktale. This story exists outside of Hebrew scriptures, in other cultures. Folktales, while not factual accounts, often convey deeper truths about human nature, society, and values. They reflect the beliefs and morals and experiences of the culture from which they originate. Through metaphor, symbolism, and archetypal characters, folktales can illustrate life lessons, ethical dilemmas, and the complexities of human relationships. Folktales serve as a means of preserving cultural wisdom and shared values, making them meaningful even if they aren't true in the literal sense. That word, folktale, may raise alarm bells for some of you. It's scripture. That means it's true. Here I want to say, could it have happened? I never say anything is impossible when it comes to God. But if there was never a real man named Job who lived in the land of Uz, then that doesn't change the truth in the story. That doesn't change the suffering in the world. It makes us wonder what God wants us to learn from this story that was preserved and passed down through God's people. We begin with the question I'm sure we've all asked at one time or another. Why do bad things happen to good people? Richard Rohr, in his book, Job and the Mystery of Suffering, which I will reference throughout this study, questions why do joints stiffen? Why do sensible plans go nonsensically off course? Why do the innocent suffer? Why are there genetic defects in newborn children? Why have so many died before they've had the chance to live? If God is good, why is there so much that seems ungood? That is what this series is about, acknowledging these and even more difficult questions. So Job is minding his own business as a successful, wealthy, faithful man with a large family and a large estate, when all of a sudden he loses everything. The story begins with a conversation between God and one of God's heavenly messengers, the Satan, whose name means the adversary, an official court title, not a proper name like Joe or Jack. He is not yet the demonic figure of later Jewish and Christian teachings, but one of the Lord's faithful servants, though it is easy to see from his role here how he might later personify evil. The adversary was down on earth surveying the people, and God asks him, "Have you noticed Job?" Job seems to be one of God's favorites. The adversary says, "Yeah, he's okay. But I bet if he didn't have everything you've given him, he wouldn't be so faithful and upright." God doesn't believe that's true, but in verse 12 of chapter 1, tells the Satan that all he has is within your power. So the Satan snaps his fingers and takes it all away. In shock and devastation, Job grieves, but does not curse God. Job acknowledges that everything comes from God. He says that the good comes from God, and he believes that the bad comes from God. So from his point of view, if God can give it, God can take it. But God is the author of all that is good. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. If God is good, then I can't believe it's within God's good nature to cause bad things to happen. In the story, God permits the loss that Job endures, but God does not will it or cause it. I think that's true for the suffering we experience in the world, which is generally a consequence of our brokenness and sinful brokenness of humankind as a whole. God does not cause it, but God allows us to make mistakes. God allows us to make choices that have natural consequences. Don't care for the world, throw away trash, cause all kinds of natural disasters. But that isn't what happened to Job. Like I said, Job was a good and faithful man who had everything he could ever want, and one day, everything, except his wife, who told him to curse God and die, was gone. Now, on one hand, I think his wife was maybe on Satan's side. On the other hand, that poor woman lost everything too. Job has three friends who show up to comfort him, and they do all right for the first 7 days. They sit Shiva with Job and keep silent. They hold the pain and loss. It's when they begin to talk to Job about his situation that they begin to do more harm than good. Sometimes when our friends are suffering, there are no right words to say. In their experience, good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. So they ask Job, a man who is upright and blameless, what did you do to deserve this? Job's story is teaching God's people that sometimes bad things just happen. Bad things happen to good people for no good reason at all. During seminary, I served for a semester as a hospital chaplain. I remember one evening, a young father came into the ER with his wife. He had a stomach ache. He thought he had eaten some bad pizza that had been left out for too long. He and his wife were getting ready for a military ball, and then he collapsed. When he got to the hospital, he was unconscious, and they did a whole series of tests and found that his body was consumed with cancer. He never regained consciousness. They were getting ready for a ball. His tummy hurt. How many of you have heard the line, "Everything happens for a reason"? Everything does happen for a reason. But it may not be a good reason. Not everything that happens is a part of God's will or God's plan. God doesn't cause people to get cancer. God doesn't send fires or hurricanes to teach people a lesson. God doesn't cause people to die because God needed another angel or a flower in heaven. Job says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job praised God when things were wonderful and prosperous, and Job praised God when things were the worst they had ever been. But praising God when you are thankful looks different than when you are grieving. Job has a reputation for being the best example of how to be faithful. His wife challenges his faith. She wonders what the point is. Along with her, J.S. Randolph Harris wrote, "In a world of both blessing and suffering, why is there faith at all? What good is faith? If a person of faith suffers as much as any other, then what's the use? Why does Job have faith? Why do we have faith? I suspect it is because God is good and God loves us. And God will be with us through everything that happens. And if we allow God to be active and present, to lead and to guide, to heal us and redeem us, God will work it all for good in the end. We cannot control what happens to us. We can only control how we respond. We can walk away from God altogether like Job's wife, or we can bring our pain and our sorrow and our questions to God, knowing that God is loving and patient, knowing that God sees our pain and sorrow and questions, knowing that the only upright and blameless person to ever walk this earth was God made flesh, who came to show us that we do not suffer alone. Amen.